Hello, everyone, and welcome to At Your Service, a series of the Georgia Radio Reading Service that highlights programs and services available to Georgians that are intended to improve quality of life. I'm your host, Ken Traina. Joining us today is Ms. Linda Pogue, Advocacy Director with Disability Link, the Center for Rights and Resources. Disability Link believes that people with disabilities have the right to be independent, make decisions for themselves, have access to their community, and achieve goals in life like any other individual. Disability Link is committed to promoting the rights of all people with disabilities. Ms. Pogue, thank you for joining us today. Please tell us about Disability Link.
So Disability Link is a center for independent living, and there are centers for independent living all over the state, and, well, most of the state of Georgia is covered by centers for independent living, and all over the country, indeed all over the world. And centers for independent living are run by and for people with disabilities. The grant comes from the feds, the Administration on Rehabilitation, and that's the core grant. And the expectation for that grant is that Centers for Independent Living provide information referral, advocacy, peer support, and independent living skills. Those are the basics that happen at each Center for Independent Living. And then beyond that, independent living centers might get grants to cover other important issues for people with disabilities, employment being one obvious, and another about helping people with disabilities move out of institutions and nursing facilities back into the community. But there's a myriad of things that happen in centers for independent living. But the important thing to understand is that for more than 50% of the staff and the board are people with disabilities, are people who understand, have been there, done that, and so it has a different impact on people's lives than perhaps going to other human services agency where professionals without disabilities help people with disabilities find what they want.
What advocacy efforts have you initiated or participated in recently?
Advocacy is at the core of what Disability Link does. We do advocacy to support people individually and in communities and across the state. One major advocacy event that we had recently here in Georgia was that ADAPT came to town. National ADAPT came to Atlanta in October, and we went to visit people who have some important influence in the way that resources are spent that affect people with disabilities. Went to visit the state capitol and the regional office of HUD and other events like that. It was a very exciting 400 or 500 people with disabilities taking to the streets to make sure that people recognize that people with disabilities have the right to live in the community and they need the support to do so.
What is advocacy?
It's the art or process of defending a cause. At least that's what Webster's Collegiate Dictionary says. But in terms of disability rights, we're talking about the rights for advocating for the rights of people with disabilities.
There are many ways to advocate.
Oh, gosh, there's a variety of ways that people can advocate, to self-advocate, to increase public information and knowledge. I'm particularly interested in legislative advocacy, influencing the legislative process.
First, start with elected officials, locally, statewide, and even on a national level.
One of the most important things that you can do is to understand who your elected officials are. For many people, that's part of their lives. For some, that's a new thought to recognize their own elected officials. There's a variety of ways to do that. My suggestion is people go to votesmart.org, and on that website, you can glean all kinds of information. To find your elected officials, you need your 9-digit zip code. And you can find your 9-digit zip code either on junk mail, that's an easy way to do it, or you can go to USPS.com, the post office website, and there's a button, zip codes, and you can get your information that way.
You can call, write, or even email your elected officials, but Pogue says the best way to communicate your issues, views, support, or disagreements is to...
The most effective way of communicating with your legislator is to write a letter or to make a phone call. Emails tend to be more easily dismissed.
Pogue explains how people can find out about what issues are or might be impacting them, which issues may or may not be discussed or acted upon in legislative sessions, and so on by becoming connected to the community.
My first suggestion about finding out what the issues are is to hang out with people who know that stuff. You know, there are organizations that reflect all kinds of different disability groups and labels and interests. And my suggestion is hang out with those people. Then you're going to really find out not just stuff that affects you personally, but affects all people with disabilities.
How important is advocacy?
I think it's important to advocate at all levels. I think it's important to advocate every day of your life. But in terms of legislative advocacy, that obviously has a huge impact on the community and the country that we live in. So this is an area that you can really make a difference in, how people with disabilities are, how people with disabilities live their life.
United States citizens are very fortunate to have the support of the federal government when it comes to disability rights.
The Americans with Disabilities Act that was signed in 1990 was the first major piece of legislation that defended the civil rights of people with disabilities. Since then, other countries, including my country of origin, which is Britain, have developed similar pieces of legislation. But the Americans with Disabilities Act is probably the most encompassing and certainly was the first of major legislation that recognized people with disabilities.
How effective is advocacy?
And the Americans with Disabilities Act is probably one of the major examples of people in the disability community working together effectively. That they say it was like, you know, 200 organizations got together to create the Americans with Disabilities Act. That is an amazing feat.
What is the Olmsted Act?
The Olmsted decision is a Supreme Court decision that came about from two ladies here in the state of Georgia, Lois Curtis and Elaine Wilson, are two women who lived in institutions for the major part of their lives. They had developmental and mental health disability labels, and they wanted to live in the community. By various means, they connected with Atlanta Legal Aid, and an attorney there, Sue Jameson, took their case and helped them to sue the state of Georgia for the right to live in the community. Their families and doctors were saying that both Lois and Lane could indeed live in the community, but the state of Georgia said that that wasn't possible. So they sued the state of Georgia, and the state of Georgia appealed at each level, and eventually it reached the Supreme Court, who said that because of the Americans with Disability Act, people indeed do have the right to live in the least restrictive environment, the community. And so Lois and Lane's work helped all people with disabilities have the opportunity to live in the community under the ADA.
What does the Olmsted Act mean? What does it entail?
Yes, this is a little bit complicated, but there's a concept called money follows person, has indeed been changed into some legislation and stuff like that. But the concept of money follows person is that where the money that supports somebody to live in an institution or nursing facility can then move with that person to support them in the community.
Recently, Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue announced a new Olmsted coordinator, Mr. William Janes. In addition to naming a new coordinator, where does Georgia stand with the Olmsted Act?
Right now, the state of Georgia has a grant from the feds that is money follows person, that helps people get out of institutions and get the supports they need to live in the community. However, there's always a however, there are some restrictions in who is eligible. Some people who require a lot of support do not fall into the boundaries of that particular funding source. So many people are still being left behind in institutions and nursing facilities.
If GARS listeners wanted to participate in advocacy, how would they get started and what message should or could they send?
I would say, again, that it's really worth working with other people when you are undertaking legislative advocacy. However, the major issue that if you're confused about all the other aspects of talking to elected officials is that this is the message that people with disabilities want to live in the community and control their own lives. That's the message. There's lots of different ways around for making that happen, but the message is people with disabilities want to live in the community and control their own lives.
Poe gives some tips on how you can advocate.
Communicating with your elected representatives. While every elected representative has an email address, the most effective way to communicate is by letter or phone. Legislators prefer to hear from their own constituents, people who live in the district they represent. And they will probably give less attention to mass emails or form letters from people outside their districts. If you are communicating by letter, here are some tips. One, your purpose for writing should be stated in the first paragraph of the letter. Two, if your letter pertains to a specific piece of legislation, identify it, like House Bill or Senate Bill. Make sure the numbers are included. 3, be courteous to the point and include key information, including examples to support your position. And 4, address only one issue in each letter, and if possible, keep the letter to one page.
And if you meet elected officials face to face,
if you're visiting your legislators at the Georgia State Capitol, here's some similar tips. 1, plan your visit. Be clear about what you want to achieve. And 2, make an appointment. Explain your purpose and who you represent. 3, be prompt and patient. Understand that there can be changes in the legislator's schedule. That can happen at very short notice. 4, be prepared and bring the information and materials supporting your position. 5, be political. Demonstrate the connection between what you are requesting and the interests of the representative's constituency. If possible, describe for the representative how you or your group can be of assistance to him or her, and where appropriate, remember to ask for commitment. Also, be responsive. Be prepared to answer questions or provide additional information in the event of the legislator expresses interest or asks questions. Follow up the meeting with a thank you letter that outlines the different points you covered during the meeting and send along any additional information and materials requested. That might seem obvious, but it's a nice way to handle a myriad information, you know, just trying to keep it tidy and succinct.
What other ways can people advocate other than through their elected officials?
One of the ways that I like to encourage people to advocate if they have a passion is to think about using local media, write to letters to the editor. That's a way of making an issue get into the papers. Again, I always urge people to work as groups. There are groups that represent all kinds of different issues, and I can help people connect with that stuff at some point. But work with people, other people. That's the way that you make sure that your message is powerful and that it's tidy among the things that we just spoke about and that it has impact.
How about voting?
Well, of course, yes. Voting is, you know, your number one responsibility as a citizen. And absolutely encourage people to vote at every opportunity.
And volunteering. How is that a way to advocate?
Volunteering is a great way to improve your life in many ways. Volunteering can connect you with people and ideas and issues and supports that you might not otherwise have. I myself got my job as a volunteer originally.
How do people choose which will be the most effective method of advocacy?
Yes, there's advocacy and there's effective advocacy. I think that if you feel strongly about an issue, the more people you can share it with, the better. However, what we have learned over the years is that to be effective, sometimes we have to strategize. We have to work out how we're going to be the most effective. And that's best done as a group as opposed to individually. And it involves some things like deciding on priorities, maybe putting some part aside so that the message that legislators receive is very clear and very concise and very pinpointed. And so all advocacy is good advocacy, I suppose, but to be advocacy effective really means spending time with other people who are interested in the issue and working out how to provide the information and in such a way that, in case of legislative advocacy, that the legislators will be able to clearly receive the strong message.
Tell us more about Centers for Independent Living, of which Disability Link is one.
A CIL, a Center for Independent Living, as I said, is funded federally. And often, CILs that already exist in a state work together to instigate a new CIL taking over a part of the state that's not otherwise covered. So, for example, right now, the area around Columbus in Georgia is not served by a Center for Independent Living. And so some folks in centers that are already existing are working towards all the myriad of things that have to happen so that a successful grant application to the feds can be met. For Columbus, that area, yes.
How many centers exist in Georgia?
In Georgia, there are 8 centers for independent living, and they are Disability Link, which is in Atlanta, actually in downtown Decatur, where the office is, and it serves Atlanta and the surrounding counties. There's Disability Link Northwest, that is in the northwest part of Georgia, based in Rome, and serves the counties around there. There's Disability Resource Center in Gainesville, and again, to the surrounding counties. Disability Connections in Macon and surrounding counties, Life in Savannah and nearby, Walton Options in Augusta and that area, Bain in Bainbridge, way down south in Georgia, and multiple options in Athens and surrounding counties.
What are some of the major issues before the Georgia legislature this year that impact people with disabilities?
As often is the case, the current issue in the legislature is the budget. The budget. There is more concern than ever because of our economic recession conditions here in Georgia and in the country that less resources are going to be available to provide services that support people to live in the community as opposed to institutions. And so the budget is the thing that is the most important. And one of the groups that is very active in budget issues is Unlock the Waiting List. They advocate for the funding to be provided for Medicaid waivers. Medicaid waivers is the funds that provide support services for people with disabilities in the community, as opposed to the Medicaid funds that support people to live in institutions. There's a number of things that are actually current right now that might be of particular interest to the GARS audience, to people who are blind and visually impaired. House Bill 566, that is to amend Part 3 of Article 6 of Chapter 2. What that means is the evaluation of kids who are blind and visually impaired so they can receive individual Braille instruction and with regards to textbooks in Braille. House Bill 565, amend Title 30 of the Official Code of Georgia Annotated to create the Commission for the Blind and the Visually Impaired. House Resolution 1102, and that was the resolution that created January the 13th, 2010, as Blindness Day at the Capitol. I know lots of you were there. And Senate Resolution 487, with regards to the Georgia Statewide Coalition on Blindness.
What is the ultimate goal for people with disabilities?
Independent living is totally individual. People are going to decide exactly how they want to live their life, and that's the point. Too many people with disabilities are told by other people, mainly people without disabilities, of how to live their life. And independent living means having the capacity to make your own decisions. Maybe you need some support to do that, maybe not. But the point is, it's your life, your decisions, or our life and our decisions, should I say, and that people with disabilities have the opportunity to make the full range of decisions just like everybody else. That includes sometimes taking some risks or even making a decision that turns out not to be a good one. But I don't know about you, but most of us learn some of our biggest lessons by making mistakes.
So are you saying that living in an institutional environment is unacceptable?
When people have choices, often they say, well, I choose to live in a nursing facility. I choose to live in an institution. That might be the case, but it's been my experience that when people are offered the opportunity to live in the community with the supports that they need, that they'll make that choice. But so often people with disabilities have been told, You can't live in the community. You must live here. This is where you're safe. This is where you should be living. And so that kind of advocacy takes a little bit of difference. People need to have the confidence to make the decision to live in the community. And sometimes that's very difficult for people, especially if they've lived in an institution or nursing facility for a long time and a certain amount of dependence is created. If you've never made a decision about when to have your meal or when to get up or go to bed or what TV program you watch, then you can see how somehow that confidence of making those decisions could be eroded and need a little time to be developed again.
Do you think that people without disabilities are able to make good decisions for people with disabilities?
Well, I think the point is that people with disabilities want the opportunity to make their own decisions to make. Even if somebody's making a decision for you that's a good one, that's not the same as making your own decision for yourself. And part of what Disability Link and other centers for independent living promote is that we need to pay more attention to people with disabilities and how they want to live their lives, as opposed to how other people might think that people with disabilities should be living their life. I would say it simply, there's way too many people who are telling other people how to live their lives.
And how far would you say have we come as a community in the past few years? Are we making progress, or do we have a long way to go to improve the lives of people with disabilities?
Are we making progress in the disability community? Well, sometimes I feel very optimistic, and I see people that I know and love living independent lives, living full and meaningful lives, and I'm delighted. Other times I'm just full of distress because clearly there are far too many people with disabilities who are not living independent lives, who are still locked up in institutions and nursing facilities, and even some people in the community who are not in control of their own lives. And that gives me great cause for concern. It's also makes me very angry sometimes when I see what happens to many people with disabilities. And so that's a source of energy for me. Anger becomes energy, I hope, used towards some effective outcomes.
What advice, counsel, and encouragement can you give our listeners?
One of the things that I'd like to point out to people is that you have the right responsibility to have a relationship with your elected representatives. And for many of us, that's a little bit daunting and a little bit scary. But I would encourage people to, well, not only find out who their elected representatives are, but make a point of connecting with them on a regular basis. They will really appreciate that. They want to know from their constituents. And if they hear from somebody on a regular basis with regards to particular topics, in this case, advocacy and the rights of people with disabilities, they'll start paying attention to your communication even more. So don't be anxious about speaking to your elected representatives. You have nothing to fear. They work for you. So share with them what it is that is on your mind. One of the questions that I think is a good one to ask an elected representative is to say, so where do you get your information with regards to issues that affect people with disabilities? And that opens up the opportunity for you and the people that you know in maybe organizations that are run by people with disabilities to say, well, we could offer some ideas and thoughts. Turn to us if you have a question about what affects people with disabilities. Let me tell you a story. A couple of years ago, I was part of a group helping somebody with a disability move out of Central State Hospital in Milledgeville. And a group of us helped her to visit with her state representatives. And we asked that question, where do you get your information about things that affect people with disabilities? And this particular person said, the elected representative said, well, I know lots of staff at Central State and I talk to them. And so the person that we were supporting was able to say, well, rather than talk to staff, which of course you have every right to do, would you also consider talking to me as somebody with a disability who lives in an institution and is planning to move into the community? And then the following year, we went back to visit with that elected representative, and the person was able to say, well, I've left the institution, I'm living in the community, it's successful, and I still want to be a resource to you. If you have questions about issues that affect people with disabilities, please ask people with disabilities rather than people who don't have disabilities.
How do GARS listeners get in touch with your organization?
Probably the easiest way nowadays is to use the internet, disabilitylink.org, and there is all our contact information. We can also help you reach independent living centers that serve your part of the state.
Services provided by Disability Link include self-advocacy and systems advocacy. The ability of a person to stand up for their rights is not always easy, and the staff at Disability Link teaches advocacy techniques to assist individuals how to become self-advocates. Systems advocacy teaches you how to work with government laws, regulations, and programs so that you can effectively voice your opinion and promote change to benefit the entire community. Peer support. The peer network provides opportunities for people with disabilities to directly contribute to their community by being a friend to a new consumer or by moving into the role of a peer network member. Peer mentors utilize the support of the center to gather others to develop community projects, establish support groups, and more. Disability Link encourages more peer supporters who can demonstrate how they have dealt with their disability and been successful in their own lives. Information and referral. Although Atlanta has a wealth of resources, finding them can be a real problem. If you need information or are searching for community resources, call Disability Link. Independent living skills training. The problems of dealing with a disability can become an insurmountable barrier to independence. The staff at Disability Link attempts to identify problems and offer assistance in seeking solutions. Nursing Facility Transition Services. Disability Link, along with five other centers for independent living across the state, have joined forces to assist those who want to leave nursing facilities and live in their own communities. If you want to leave a nursing facility or know of someone who does, please call Disability Link. ADA services offered by Disability Link include facility reviews. A general review is a free service that offers tips on improving access to goods and services, including a walkthrough of your business with general suggestions on addressing physical access. And the format review, which is a fee-for-service program, is a comprehensive look at how well your business complies with ADA requirements. It includes a post-survey meeting to discuss alternatives and a written report with suggestions to improve access and compliance. Disability Link also offers training and education on various disability issues, including customer service for clients with disabilities, disability awareness, disability etiquette, Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, and more. Training can be customized to the needs of your business. Although this is a fee-for-service program, consumer service organizations, schools, and other nonprofit-type organizations may apply for waived or reduced fees. For more information, please contact Disability Link at 404-687-8890, or you may call them toll-free at 1-800-239-2507. Again, that local number is 404-687-8890, or you may call them toll-free at 1-800-239-2507. For GARS, this has been At Your Service. My name is Ken Trena, and as always, thank you for listening to GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service.